February 1, 2025. Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide our heart and our mind as we go through life with the people around us. Lord, protect us and our family and the people who we love around us. Lord, guide us, protect us, help us to rightly pray for the needs of the people around us as they show godly love to our neighbors and the people around us. Lord, we thank you for the richness of your love, and God bless the people around us. I remember a few decades back, I was visiting my mom, and I don't know what she could tell about how I was, but she could tell something was going on with me on the home front, and life was not especially easy for a little while there. And she asked me, "What are the two great commandments?" And I said, "Matthew 22 says that we love God and love our neighbor with all our heart, mind, and soul." And she said, "Yes. And who is your nearest neighbor, John?" And with that, she blurted out, "Your wife!" And, you know, I really felt convicted for that, because things were a little bit tense between my wife and I for a while. And so she really got me with that one. And I happen to think that everything in God's word is true and right. And we are to have love and compassion and righteousness. And now, in the last days, we have the things going on all around us, and we have to remember the big lessons that God in the Bible teaches us. A big one is, how do we show love to the people around us? And maybe it's a mutual love that there is, or maybe it's just that we are to love our neighbor in the best way we know how. And we also have to think about loving other people, even if they are our adversaries. And in that case, how do we show our love to those who might not be friendly to us? Especially when we are commanded to love our neighbor. And I suppose we do that with wisdom and consider how God would love somebody even if they were not righteous. How would we love somebody even if they were not nice to us? Whether they're your neighbor or somebody closer or further away, how do we allow God to guide us through these little situations that they kind of get to us? Well, let us use wisdom and love, and also remember that our love should not be damaging us. We want to love in a way that is righteous and proper, and not become a victim because we are allowing somebody to do anything to us. This is what I think, and we know there are very many people in the world, just all around us, and they would be glad to either hurt us or take advantage of us or even damage us. Even there are a few who would even be happy to kill us because they want something we have. And yet we are to be watchful about the trouble around us, and I also think we are to protect the innocent people around us, whether they're children or adults. We have some protecting to do. As a Christian, we have values, and we hold a certain amount of godly principles and human compassion as we try to show love to the people around us. So, Lord, guide us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That just makes me think of a true story here about, was it 25, 30 years ago? I was at a conference, a Christian school conference, homeschooling conference in San Diego. It was a big thing. And I had just been going around to all the tables, talking with people. And so I took a moment because I was tired, and I went off to the side and just stood there for 5 minutes, maybe 10. And there was a couple next to me, and they, we weren't friendly, but we were acknowledging each other. And right then, a man came up to me. He was a security man in his uniform, and he wanted to know what I did with what I took off the table. And you know what? He mistook me for somebody else. It was not me, but he thought it was me. And so the couple next to me, they were standing there. We were all just kind of standing off to the side, resting. And they said that I had been standing there and he hadn't gone anywhere speaking about me. So they, in a sense, defended me to say that I had been there for a while. Well, the security man took this under consideration. Well, you could just tell because he was thinking and looking at the people around all of us. And I was thinking afterwards that this couple had shown just a compassion. You could call it a love for a stranger. And that stranger was me. Obviously, I hadn't taken anything off the table, and the security man had made a mistake, but that couple stood up for me. They were, I don't know where they were from, but their English was not at all good. Still, they communicated to the security fellow that I had simply been there, so it couldn't have been me. Anyway, I thought that was just a nice kindness, and I am still thankful that there was somebody who would stand up and say that it wasn't what happened, that what you thought happened, that the fellow, me, was innocent of what you're accusing him. So I thought of this as an example of love, and I am grateful that they would stand up for a stranger who was me. I'm still grateful, and it still makes me want to have compassion for other people who are facing, some kind of a trouble or not. And if we know the truth and can speak it out, let's do that to protect the innocent around us. And we can see that this is a way of showing our love for our neighbor. And yes, there is love that we have, which is a feeling, and there is love that we have with an action. There's John 14:15, and it talks about how we love God and we show our love for God by keeping His commandments. So, love is shown by an action in John 14:15. And a little bit before that, John 13:35, it shows the importance of love as it shows that Jesus is speaking, and he states, "Another commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so we can ask, what is love? We can see what it means, and we say, "Yes, Lord. Lord, I love you and I love our neighbor." And then we practice putting that into effect as we go through life. Sometime we have to figure out how to do it, especially when there's a person who is our neighbor but doesn't especially love us. It makes it kind of hard. So we have our Bible to obey. We have our God to obey when He tells us what to do. And we still have to figure out how to do that best as we can. I do think about what is going to happen in the future as we show our obedience to God, I think of us being obedient in heaven. And I think of what we will do to live obediently to God in heaven and on earth. And that's what we want to do. That is what we do. And we have to figure out how to do it with wisdom. Yes. And I think of I think of the next verse there in Mark 16, which has to do with he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that is not shall be damned. So we are told what to do, profess Jesus Christ and be baptized. And we put it together because that is in the Bible, and we want to be obedient to God, Jesus. It's in the good news of the Bible, and we have a Bible to profess and to speak about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is what we want to do. Sometime we have a chance to say to somebody a really plain and simple thing like, God bless you, Jesus loves you. There is something we can say. I'll be praying for you. I can see there's some tough things you're going through right now, and I will pray on your behalf. So this is what we do to speak to other people, believers or non-believers, and it puts Jesus in front of us so that we can glorify God through Jesus Christ as we pray for people and speak to people. Now, there's a lot we can do, and there's a lot we ought to do. I think of the people who are just in need, whether they are a poor person or maybe it's a missionary person. You know, there's a lot of missionaries in the world that go to other countries or even our own country, and they need money to live. So maybe we can figure out a way to put $5 in the missionary fund, or maybe it's $500, and it goes to a good cause to support a missionary who is in service to Christ Jesus. Now, I have heard missionaries before talk about how getting a check for $5 or $10 or $25 just keeps them going for that month, and they are so appreciative that somebody would be supporting them with a relatively small amount of money. But everything makes a difference, and when you are a poor missionary in another country, we are just grateful for the money that gets sent. So keep that in mind too. It's a way that we can support the Bible and do whatever we can. We can do it with regular giving, or we could do it in a one-time way, perhaps to a church, perhaps to a missionary fund. But just keep it in your thinking for what you can do to help people preach the good news of the gospel. Now, some people get embarrassed when they have to present the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, present the Bible. And it's something that we all can use a little practice on, but we are supposed to do that, preach the good news of the Bible of Jesus Christ. So let us do that in the best way we know how. Sometime it is to support a missionary who does it and support them financially. And sometime it is simply saying to somebody, God bless you, and Jesus loves you. And it might be, would you like to come to church with me some Sunday? There are all sorts of ways to do it, and we do have a spiritual battle going on always. It is always going on, and there are evil spirits that want to hurt and even to destroy us. How do we overcome those evil spirits? This is one of the things that just gets me. It's Matthew 17:21 in the King James Version. It talks about how we overcome an evil spirit through prayer and fasting. And it's kind of interesting because there's many other Bible versions who do not have prayer and fasting as a way to defeat an evil spirit. So it's something which we need to know about, how we can be an effective warrior, spiritual warrior. Prayer and fasting. And the Bibles, I've looked them up. Some of the newer Bibles just leave that verse right out. They skip that verse. And they just go right on to the next. It's interesting. So that is another one of the reasons why I like the King James Version, is because it has some important verses in it, like how you can defeat an evil spirit. So the Bible is always good, and it's good to know your whole Bible and to be able to speak about the things. I do like the King James Version, and if you happen to read the King James Version, there are just a few words that you will have to learn a new definition of. Like smite. Smite is one of the words, and it means to hit. And it could mean a hit like a slap, and it could mean a deadly strike. So that's one of the words to learn. Another word that you have to learn is host. And a host is a body of men. And it could be a group of men, or it could be an army. So there's a few things just to learn, and I'm sure with all the Bible versions, there is something like that that we have to learn. Well, the Bible is a beautiful book. All the Bibles are beautiful books, and we get to study and learn about God and how God loves us and we love God. It's a wonderful, beautiful book, and it helps us to know how to fit into the kingdom of God in heaven. It's wonderful. Well, make sure that you have a wonderful relation with Jesus so that Jesus knows you. And there is a place in there that Jesus says he doesn't know somebody. And we want to make sure that he knows us and that we get to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. There are plenty of people who go through, well, difficulties. Oh, you could even say hard times. And that's one of the things about hard times, is you reach out to God when you're going through difficulty. And sometimes it is to relieve the pain, and sometimes it is just to get some understanding of what has happened. Maybe you even ask, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Well, the thing is hard times can make a person turn to God, or hard times can draw us to God. So that's one of the things we can remember when we're ever going through some difficulty. Is it bringing us to God? Is it going to get us through a time of tribulation or difficulty? Yes, it often is. We ought to not view it as a punishment, but rather we ought to think of it as bringing us closer to God, Jesus. And that's what does happen when we go through hard times. Well, it happens for many of us. It certainly happened for me a while back, but I still remember just fine. I think of our God who loves us, and I think of God knowing our future, and a part of that love is that we have some hard lessons sometime, and those lessons teach us and show us. It shows us the goodness of God, too. Sometimes it shows us that there are nice people around, and the people have a good and godly spirit. But we have lots going on in the Bible. It shows the goodness of God, and it shows the evil hearts of man who want power. Sometimes they want war, and sometimes they just want something else. It's something that we can really learn from the Bible to see what we ought to do best. We can get our directions from the Bible and represent the goodness of God and not the evil of either man or the evil spirits. Well, we have things going on right now today, and we get to figure out, is it of God or is it of an evil desire or person or being? We get to see the good and the bad all around us, whatever it is. Sometimes it is a person who is jealous or who wants what we have, or sometimes it might even be the vaccines. Is that something that is of God or not of God? What is it when they want to put vaccines in our food? They talk about putting the mRNA vaccine into food. Is that of God or is that not of God? I think of the people who talk about what a vaccine will do and how it would benefit mankind. There's a BlackRock executive who recently suggested that the COVID vaccine had killed millions of people around the world. So we have a lot of things that we have to have discernment to understand. And yes, we can fact check it. Or maybe you want to fact check that. Just look up the BlackRock executive who said the COVID vaccine was killing millions of people around the world. And you get to figure out, are you going to pay attention to that, or are you going to just go ahead and do what you're told so that you take whatever vaccines they require of you or they suggest? You know, there's a new vaccine coming on the, it's being developed right now, which is considered an anti-cancer vaccine that is meant to suit one individual person as they get their DNA checked. It could happen to you. They could say they know how to protect you, and so will you do that vaccine or not? I don't know. Is it an experimental vaccine, just like the COVID-19 was? I don't know. But it's something which we all get to figure out. What are we going to do with what's going on? Well, sure in the medical, but sure in the military, and sure in the political systems around us. And we have to discern what is of God and what is not of God. And I ask you to pray about that and ask God to show you what you need to know to make the decisions. And I don't know your answers. And I do know we want to trust God and go with the godly way of having things develop. God is perfect in his knowledge, and we want God's understanding, not a BlackRock executive or a scientist or even a doctor. We want to have God's understanding, and to do that, we can read the Bible and get an understanding of what kind of things God likes or does not like. We have the human things going on around us too. And we have the doctors who say one thing. We have the government who says another thing. And we have people who... Well, there was a movie called Died Suddenly. And that brought up the different problems that people suffered after they took the COVID-19 vaccine. And it was an experimental vaccine. It is a terribly interesting thing of what there is a movement to do to the people now. To put it into the vegetables even, put an mRNA vaccine into vegetables and into animals. It's something which we just get to figure out. What are we going to agree to? Or should we listen to the promises of saying that it will increase your lifespan? Or do we just be satisfied with our lifespan the way it is? Right now, Americans pretty much live to be, well, most of 80 years old. But if your lifespan was only 40 years, would it really make a difference? Well, it wouldn't if you had your decision for Jesus Christ already made. Because that is the decision that really makes the most difference to everyone's life, because it determines your eternity. So if you live 20 years or 40 years or 80 years, you just have to have the right decisions that you are going to be a Christ follower and live faithfully to God. That's what I think. God is to be number one. And are we listening to God and His Word, or are we doing things that we want to do? It's something we all get to strive to understand and figure, are we going to obey God, or are we going to do whatever it is that we want? Always questions. What are we going to do? And a part of those questions and answers will determine where we are going to spend our eternity. Will it be in heaven, or will it be in hell? Well, we have the Bible to guide us, to tell us what to do, and there are biblical examples of people in the Bible. And we get to look at those examples and again try to figure out what we are going to do. And as we go through life, there are just events all over the place that are going to get our attention. They might even confuse us so that we don't look at the question of obeying the Bible or obeying God. They're just distractions all throughout life. And we want to remember to look at what God says. Look at His Word. Look to Jesus Christ with obedience. And not get distracted by all the things around us that we do with personal relationships, with government relationships, with orders that we are to do what they tell us to do. It's something that we all have to put it in order and say, are we going to obey God, or are we going to obey the powers that are around us? Are we going to do what we want to do, or are we going to obey God, even if it's for a shorter time? So we only have 20 years on life instead of 80 years. Does that really matter? Well, not if we consider eternity. Of course, it's always nice to have an extra 5 or 10 or 40 years. But we make our decisions, and that's something which we all get to ponder so that we can understand what we do and what we don't do. Each one of us has a chance to ask the questions and find the answers about eternity and how we live. And it does make a difference. Just make sure that at the end of your lifespan that you want to have the most important questions answered. And I think that most important question is, what is your relation with Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Are you belonging to God? Well, these days we have so many things that distract us. Just in life, we have events taking place. We have the power people who want us to do this or that, and they make it worthwhile if we say yes or no. So we have to figure out, who are we going to obey? The powers around us, or our own self, or the Bible? God of the Bible, we get to figure that out. And of course, God of the Bible is the one who can tell us where our eternity will be. So we always have to remember that. Let's celebrate in heaven and live however God wants us to live in the years that we have on earth. After all, life is short, and it can be dramatically longer or shorter depending on how we live. But we want to live the long life. And yet I do know how life can suddenly practically end, like it just about did for me when I had my car accident and I saw the liquid around me and it was my own blood. So I know that life can be over very quickly, like it almost was for me. And so I think of what can we do to give ourselves a long life and be obedient to God as we go through this life. Well, we all get to figure that out and see how we can live a long life and be faithful to God as we show our love for the people around us and, of course, the love for God. So make the time that you need to try to answer these questions about your relation with God Jesus, because the world keeps having incidences and problems that bring us closer and closer to conflict with one another. Sometimes it's just plain simple. It can be something at the office. It can be something with our neighbors. And somehow there is a conflict. Or it can be a great big war. Conflict. That can help divide people so that we are not unified. And that also brings us further from God to have conflict. So if there is a war, will it be something we can still prepare for? The problems that come with war? Well, yes and no. And we do know that with all the conflict on this earth and in this land, it is good to have some preparations for just in case there is a fire or a flood or a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake. All these things have happened in the past and are happening now here and there in the world. So let's get a little bit prepared for those just in case situations. We can be threatened in our home or in the life that we live because of these natural disasters that go on, or a disaster like fire or flood. It can be man-caused or a natural thing. And for all this, we want to stay prepared both spiritually and physically. And it is kind of typical that we have a little time to prepare, but we don't know how long we have to prepare, so we want to simply stay prepared all the time. And how much preparation is for everybody to choose, and we don't know. So stay prepared spiritually and physically. Now, it just takes a little bit of preparation physically to get through the mess that there is around us. And we don't know what it will take. We don't know how much preparation to have. But we do know the more preparation we have, the easier it is to get through a time of difficulty. Now, preparedness does take a little bit of time and a little bit of planning. And then you have to do things to get all your preparations together and to have them be saved and secure for when or if you ever need them. That's just the way life goes. It's what we do to prepare along with the life we live. We see things happen. And sometimes we want to have those spiritual books, like the Holy Bible. And sometimes we want to have some physical thing like a medical kit or food and water or a water filter. It's just always different, and we get to choose what makes sense to us as to what we perceive the threat to be. Is it a natural disaster? Is it a spiritual situation? It's something we all get to try to figure out and then decide what to do. Do we get emergency tools together? Do we get sleeping bags together? What about a backpack? What about a camping stove to cook food on? What about anti-diarrheals or a latrine? After all, those things can be devastating to people who drink water that is not, well, it's not clean. And this is a kind of a typical thing for a person surviving a disaster to have to deal with unclean water. So we do a little preparation here and a little bit of preparation there, and we try to figure out what kind of things will be a threat for us if there is a disaster. Well, we need a chainsaw to remove a tree. Well, we need material to patch up the roof. Well, we need a chainsaw to cut a tree out of the road or off the house. Well, we have gas that we need to do what we need with a chainsaw or a trip to the store. If the store is even open, because without electricity, nothing seems to be open. You can't even run your cash register, so they wouldn't be able to even take cash if... Oh yeah, in a case of a storm, they probably would not even open the doors because they would not have the lighting inside to keep you, the customer, safe. So it's always a matter of trying to figure out what could happen and what you want to do to protect yourself from whatever would be going on. And these are the simple things, the natural disasters. And yet there can be other things too, like a communication outage where your phone doesn't work, an electrical outage, or a nuclear event, or a nuclear accident. These things all happen a little bit at a time, here and there. And for a nuclear event or accident, you would want to have potassium iodide on hand. It's a little pill that you take that fills your thyroid gland with good potassium so that your thyroid gland does not die. If your thyroid gland dies, the thyroid gland regulates other glands in your body, and it also makes it so that you can digest your food. It's really important. So you want to have some good iodine that has no radioactivity in it, and that you have to buy. Whether it's $20 for a few pills or $50 or $100 for a bunch of them, it's well worthwhile when you consider the effect of a nuclear accident or event on the entire population, and what you can do to prevent the difficulty. So, see what kind of a concern you have about what is going on around you. A lot of people are concerned with having drinking water, and so they want that. It's called a life straw. So you can suck on that straw and have the water be clean. Now, life straws are good, but it is not especially easy if you want to drink a glass of water through a life straw. It just, everything makes a difference, and it's better to have a gravity flow filter where you can put water in the top and get clean water out the bottom. But we all make decisions. And maybe the life straw is good enough for you and your little backpack. There are just things that we can anticipate one thing or another being good or not good, and then we act on it. And we put the things in our family supply or our personal supply. But be ready for something or other to happen. It does not take much preparation. It takes a little bit of preparation, and if everybody's a little prepared, it would just make things easier for everybody. I know what I think of when I think of emergency preparations. I think of water, food, and warmth. To me, those are the basic things, and you can have choices along the way, whether you have the life straw or the gravity-fed water filter. And for food, you could have candy bars, or you could have the Coast Guard rations, or you could have rice and beans. And it's all something we just make a decision about and figure it out. There are questions about what happens after a disaster. Do you need a shovel or a broom? Do you need a dust mask? Do you need something to dig the latrine? Or anti-diarrheal medicine. It's just everybody has their own ideas. Do you have something to recharge your phone? Or would the phone even be working? No, probably it would not be working, even if you had electricity for it. Because if it was that serious of an event, the cell towers would not be working. So we just get to think about it and figure what is important for us to have. And the order will always change because we have a different idea about what is important. If we were a gardener, we might say garden seeds are important. If we were a policeman, we might say a flashlight and a gun are the most important things. If we were a mechanic, we might say car repair tools and jumper cables are the most important thing on the list. And if we were a carpenter, we might say screws and nails and a hammer are the most important thing. But whatever it is, we get to figure out what is important to us and then act on it. Get some of the supplies and figure out how to keep them for an emergency. And remember, praying is always good. Oh, and sometime you want that Bible to read to give you understanding and comfort. So we all have an idea of what we want to have. Part of it is what we are familiar with, and part of it is what we can expect we would need. And we want that near us. It might be in the car, it might be in the home, or it might be even on our person. It just everybody has their own idea, but you have to make some decisions and then actually prepare in a way that is consistent with your concerns. And we are all people, we are all human, and we all see things rightly and even a little bit wrongly. But we have things that we like and things that we don't like, and it just takes putting it into an order so we can get the most important things first and have them available. We can figure out what is most important, and then we fix that first so that we can get through an emergency. We can look at history to see what has happened in the past and what we want to look at for our own self. There's a lot of things in America that we might not recognize, and there's a few things that we do recognize. But there are trends that are going on, and the trend is something we have to be aware of too. Why, just recently I've heard that President Trump say that we need to get back to the Roman Pax Romana, where the Roman law was all over the world. And that is something which, do we want to do? Do we want to duplicate the Roman system? And we might. I don't know that we do or we don't, but I do know that it was in a certain situation at that time, and the Roman law dominated all over the world at that time. So do we want America to be dominant all over the world at this time? It's possible, but it still is something that is good to decide for each one of us. Do we want to support that system? Do we want to have a strong government that tells the citizens what to do? Do we want to deal with armies? Do we want to deal with a strong or a weak national government that'll tell us just what to do or not tell us what to do? At least we can think about them. We might not be able to make any difference in what goes on around us. On the other hand, we might. And if we give up our right to say something about what is going on around us, then it'll just happen without us. So let's think about what we would like and then help it to happen if we possibly can. There are times that we are going through that are kind of difficult. And I do think of Revelation chapter 18 to think about the times that are going to be coming upon the earth. And I think about them. I think about what it means to have the trading that is going on in the world. That Revelation chapter 18, about verse 13, it talks about how there will be men that are bought and sold, and the souls of men. And it talks about the things that are sold and traded, like spices and silver, gold and cattle, grain, and as I said, the bodies and souls of men. I remember reading that a few years ago and thinking, how can that be? How can they sell the bodies and souls of men? But look what's going on today. Can you see how people are being bought and sold? And it's really a terrible thing to think of us buying and selling the bodies and the souls of people. And we get to figure out what part are we going to play in that? Are we going to agree with it? Or are we going to want to have people free to choose Jesus Christ? Well, we all get to figure out what our position is going to be in that. And about the bodies and souls of men, I think of somebody called Amy Carter, who was bought and sold as a sex slave. She was trafficked and by famous people. And she has had testimonies on that YouTube thing. So with her amount of recall that she has, her ability to name names and places and what happened, it just sounds like it's all true. But maybe you want to see if it's true and see how evil it has been in America. And just out of curiosity, do you think that America should be destroyed because of what it's done? Well, there's a lot of concern about what should happen to a good or a godly or an ungodly America. Well, we can see that there are things going on in the world, and we know that God holds people and places accountable. And I think of what's going on in Israel right now. Is our President Trump, did he encourage a two-state solution back in 2018? Right in there was a lot of discussion that went on. And yes, it seems like there was a two-state solution supported. So if we are supporting the division of Israel, will God see that America should be divided? It certainly is possible. And we have to think about what would happen if a giant earthquake divided America. What if there were floods in America? What if, what if, what if? And what could we do to get through the situation and live for God if that were, in fact, to happen? Well, they're all possibles. All these things are possible because we know God did not want the land of Israel divided based on what happened in Scripture. And if we are supporting, that is, if our government is supporting the division of Israel, we know that things have a way of turning around and it could happen to America. So there's another reason to prepare, to develop concern and preparedness about what could happen. Well, watch the things that could happen, because there are scripture that tell us about. And the biggest thing that scripture talks about is earthquakes and famines and pestilence. All these things could happen right here in America, and how are we going to get through a time of famine and earthquakes in diverse places? How could we do it? Well, we can always have a few supplies, and that is always good to have a few supplies for the just in case. And sure, it probably won't be enough, but it'll be something to help us get through a time so that we don't have to eat the bark off of trees, so that we don't have to starve. And God does talk about famine in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about the end of the age, what will happen. Famine, earthquakes, pestilence. So if we have a pretty good idea that that is what is coming, maybe we should have a little idea about what we want to prepare with so we have food and supplies. And the supplies will vary with each one of us. Some of us will only think about starting a fire and staying warm. Some of us will think about the medical situation or about the electricity. So the point is, we all will see one thing or another, and we all will get prepared in one way or another. We all get to expect something or rather, and that is what we prepare for based on our experience and what we expect to happen. So give that some thought and see what you can do to get prepared for the just in case. Now, is it just in case or is it certain? Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about these things coming. Therefore, are we going to get a little prepared for a famine or earthquakes in diverse places? Pestilence, all these things can happen, or maybe they have happened, and we have to know how are we going to deal with it when it happens. Are we going to have a little supplies for the just in case so that we can continue a little bit of a normal life so that we can get through the crisis that is on hand? I think that would be good to live to the other side of a crisis so that we can help with the establishment of a godly government, a godly society. And that's something that is a reason that we would want to survive so that we can help with that. Help to represent Jesus among people. Yes, Christians, and yes, just regular people, as we love God and love our neighbor, as we love prudently and carefully. That's something I think we all want to do, and so that's what we think about. How can we get through a time of trouble? Do remember that you are welcome to look at any broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase. And then look at the Christ Today, the one that says with John Stephenson, because there are four or five that talk about Christ Today. So get the one that is with John Stephenson and listen again. I do know that there's many things that are going on in the world, and we want to try and understand what is going on so we can survive it and be a godly influence on the people around us to promote Jesus Christ. And we might want to have some extra Bibles on hand so that we can show our love of God and our love of our neighbor. I also encourage you, if you would like, to send for my free preparedness list. Please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope so that I get the address right. And so send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I will get that prepared list right back to you. And donations are always welcome. It helps me with the broadcast costs, and I do pray for people who listen, and that God blesses you in all that you're thinking and doing. Amen. God bless you.